Got a question for you. Have you ever been in a relationship where you could spend all day, all night in the bed, loving on the one that you love the most? Get out of bed real quick, run to the store, buy some food, you come back, you eat in the bed, you drinking in the bed, watching a little TV, fall asleep a little bit, do a couple other things while you're in the bed, fall asleep again.
Yes.
Press repeat. Yeah. All right, so that's when it's good, right? But what happens when that relationship comes to an end? What are the warning signs of a failing relationship? Let's start with a lack of or the slowing down of communication. But before we get started, let me explain that that was specific to a romantic relationship. But we're also talking about friendships, right? So let's keep that in mind as we have this discussion. So lack of or slowing down of communication.
All right, so bang, bang, warning shots, fire. Failing relationships. So, like Jermaine said, it's not just romantic relationships, though. It can also be friendships. There are always warning signs. So, that slowdown or lack of communication. So, when your relationship is failing, you know, typically everybody, at least from where I'm from, enjoys a good fight. You know, when you are invested in something, when something means anything to you, you fight for it. Well, to me, when something is on a decline, you don't want to fight anymore. So that slowdown of communication, that lack of interest is a huge warning sign that things are not on the up and up. So things that you would have normally fought tooth and nail for are just not happening. And so, someone does something, or your significant other does something that you wouldn't have particularly cared for, you don't want to fight with them about it. You just like, okay, you kind of nonchalant about it. You let it roll off of you, and you just move on. Typically, if you are invested in the relationship or the situationship or whatever it may be, you're going to fight about it. You're going to say something, you're going to bring it to the table, and you're going to go for it. But if you're not invested, you're just not, you know? Go ahead.
Okay, so, and I feel where you're coming from, because I do agree. However, there are some people who will fight and will argue about everything. Sometimes, look, like small things that to you are insignificant, and because they're insignificant, you're not going to fight about it. But that person is expecting you to argue, because for them that's the norm.
So to me, that is what I would say is on an individual basis, not the overwhelming majority. There are those people that are nitpickers, that are petty, that just their claim to fame is, hey, we're gonna fight about it regardless if it is the color of the tile or the paint on the wall versus, you know, the shoestrings in your shoe. We're gonna fight about it because everything is major.
You left the toilet seat up.
Right, you left the toilet seat up. You didn't put the toothpaste at a 90 degree angle. I'm coming for your neck. Like, period. It's going down. But the overwhelming majority, I would hope, and I do with my humble heart say hope, aren't that fucking petty. But, yeah, I agree with you. There are some people that, you know, just arguing and just their claim to fame. It's not a sign of interest versus disinterest.
But, see, okay, I know we've all had those friendships, relationships, period, where once, like, you stop liking them as a person, like, anything they can do will get on your nerves.
Right.
And they can breathe, and you're like, why the fuck you breathing? Why
you know that I told you between the hours of 9:30 a.m.
at 9:30 p.m. you don't breathe. So why are you breathing and it's 9:31? You know, so she's absolutely in agree. I agree with her. Like, it seems petty and crazy, but that's where we live, right?
It's true.
And it's absolutely where we live. So, it's true. You know.
Okay, so let me ask you another question. Like, when you're in a situation like that where the person that you're with doesn't want to talk, but you're not at that place yet. Like, what do you do?
So,
how do you handle?
Wait, can you say the question again?
So, like, if you and I are in a relationship.
No, I don't like this example.
But, okay. If you and I are in a you and I are in a relationship, you stop talking to me, but I'm not where you are yet.
Mm-hmm. So then she owes you something.
What
she
does she owe me?
She owes you closure. Like, she owes you an explanation. Okay, what's going on?
So
I don't want that shit.
I stopped talking to you
first. I still want the relationship.
I stopped talking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm uninterested. I'm not invested. You mm-hmm. still are.
Yeah.
So how do we handle that?
I don't give a fuck what you want.
But I give a fuck what you want.
No, no, you want to end the shit.
Right.
But no, I'm not there yet. I still see value in us.
Right. So, to me, it's all about heart posture. Like,
that's you. Let me write this shit down. Heart posture.
No, really, it is. It's about heart posture. Like, so, if I have already decided, like, okay, I don't give a fuck what's happened between us for the past 5-10 years, you know, I'm not invested anymore, I'm ready to pull back, I don't want the relationship anymore, but you do. So at that point, where is my heart, you know, as it pertains to you? Not just what I want and what I need and what I feel, but if we are in tune, because if you're with someone for that long, how can you not really be in tune with them? So if you want it, I don't, but where is my heart as it pertains to you? So what am I willing to do to make you feel worthy, valued, all these other things as it pertains to the relationship? So that's about my heart posture in lieu of my selfishness and what I think I might want. So it's all about my heart posture and where I'm at.
So what you're saying is that you're capable of being a bit more objective.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Fifi. Did you hear any of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I heard it. So what's your question to me?
It's the same question. How would you deal with it?
Where you don't want me, but I still want you?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this before. But you ain't got no choice but to be with me. Like, I don't care.
You don't care what? Like, break it down for me. I don't understand what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, so I know this person who they were in a relationship and he was like, I don't be with you. And she was like, bitch, we got kids. You ain't going nowhere. And it was more so like, what did I do to you to make you not want to be with me? And so, I mean, it was either like, we gonna be together or we gonna be together. Because now we have too much to lose. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean.
So, just I'm not gonna give you an option to jump ship, to flee.
But then back to, I would just say, like, I would need closure. Like, I would need to know, like, what happened. Why don't, like, where did we, like, where, at what point did you stop loving me?
But would you say it's as narrow as stop loving me, or are we just out of sync? Or as you're wanting more than I'm providing? Because I don't think it's as black and white as somebody not loving somebody, because, I mean, there are people that I want to kill on the regular. Like, and I mean, like, right now, present day, to where I can't sit up here and look anybody in the face and say, I don't love this person. Because that's not true. That's absolutely not true. Like, I might want to fight you in the middle of Mardi Gras. Like, snatch my beads off, spit in my hand, and slap the fuck out of you. But I'm not going to be able to tell you I don't love you. That's not true. So it's not like I stopped loving this person. It's not that. But where did we lose sync? Like, what happened? Like, what was the downfall? What happened? to where we not on the same page, let alone in the same book. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's as black and white as in you just don't love me no more. And maybe it's a hopeless romantic in Ill, yeah, that just feels like it doesn't happen like that. But I just don't believe that it does. Like, oh, I just don't love you. It's not like that. Especially because I just don't feel like you can have 1, 2, 3, 4 kids with somebody and just don't love them anymore.
Well, I mean, I mean, you can love everybody, but I mean being in love with somebody to where you want to, you know, be close and, you know, touch and all that kind of stuff, you know? But then I do feel like this, honestly and truly, I kind of feel like if it gets to the point where you're in a relationship and that other person doesn't want you, at that point it's like, thank you, then we don't have to. Yeah, because honestly,
but when you
that's when it becomes toxic. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, just let it go. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't you, in that particular situation, wouldn't you also have to be at a place where it's like you're okay with it ending?
So that's when it becomes, this is something that has happened over and over and over again, to where now it is what it is. I don't even care anymore. Now, the first time, it's like, wait, huh? You know, I still want to be with you, all that. Mm-hmm. But after a while, because it only gets to that point when this has been like a constant cycle. Right. You know?
And things being cyclical is important. But, you know, another whole thing would be maturity level. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, we're able to synthesize these things and break them down and put them back together and all this other stuff, but some people are experiencing these things way younger, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, to me, maturity level is something that is extremely imperative as it pertains to this, because it's like, you know,
and that's like, for me, I've been in the same relationship since I was like 16-17 years old, and now I'm 29. If I was to get into a different relationship, I would do things differently. Because I wouldn't want it to turn out the way, you know, like, you wouldn't be able to talk to me any kind of way, treat me any kind of way. You know, I have different expectations for myself and for that person.
And I'm glad you said that.
So do you find that when a relationship is coming to an end, there's an increase in arguing?
At first. And then, just like you said, it gets to the point where I don't even want to argue about this no more.
Or is there, even before the arguing, is there a lack of trust?
It would have to depend on the situation. Because sometimes people just, you're not the same person you were when you first got into the relationship. It could be that you're just growing and you're turning into a different person. Or was it you cheated on me and all this? Then that's where the trust comes in. Because you can't really fault somebody for changing who they are. But you can fault somebody for cheating.
So I have a different question about, you know, someone changing. Like, I change every day. I change every week. Like, what I want today is not what I want next week.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And my point is like, I couldn't, like, okay, you've changed. I'm going to reorient my mind around the fact that you've changed. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't bother me. I'm okay with that.
Right, I mean, yeah, that's not a problem for me. That's not the problem. It's, for me, it's more so when it's you cheated on me and stuff like that, to where I can't trust you no more. I don't have a problem with people changing. That's life. You're supposed to change. So, I mean.
But what you're saying is, again, it goes back into the maturity. You know, and you're a person that is compromising. So, by nature, we're selfish. So not everybody is willing to adapt. Like, hey, okay, I see this in you. Let me adjust myself to accommodate what you're doing. Most people are not that far evolved to where they're going to do that. Again, bringing me back to what I always like to say, the overwhelming majority of the world is not like us. They don't see things that way. It's, this is what I want. This is what it's going to be. And if you don't catch up, then that's the end of it.
But I think at that point, you have to self-reflect. Because I remember even being like 20. And I was having a conversation with my best friend. And I remember, because I was like, oh my gosh. And she was like, girl, me too. And it was just weird because it's like...
At 20?
Yeah. But it's like, and we had a conversation where it was like, the things that we said that we would never do, now we're having those conversations that maybe we would do. Or the things that we said that we probably would try, now we're like, no, I'll never do that. And so it comes back to how have you changed as a person. You can't really fault somebody for changing. And just like you said, you change day to day, week to week, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But then when it comes to, because you said about arguing, about... Because of a lack of trust, that shouldn't come from somebody changing. Now, if that person changing and now they want something different in the relationship because of how they've changed, I mean, then I think it just comes to the person feeling like they're not worth it or something.
I mean,
am I not good enough?
As human beings, though, we're resistant to change by nature, I think. So, I mean, it's not always necessarily a bad thing. It's just... I guess an overall understanding,
yeah,
like of where the person is coming from, and you know, ultimately what your end game is,
right?
Because I'm an accommodating person. Like, I'm not gonna just ostracize you and just judge you and just like beat you into the ground because you're like, oh, today I feel like, you know, I've been black all my life and I want to change my hair to blonde now. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know.
But then it also goes, I think, into when it comes to the arguing. Now I'm in a space where I'm like, I have to pick my battles.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to argue about everything I used to argue about because it's not worth it. It's not, because I'm the only one left stressing about it and upset about it when the other person just doesn't care. You know, so I have to pick my battles.
So in that particular situation, it's clear to you that the other person is pretty much, they're done, but you're choosing to stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No. I just, and the reason I'm asking is because I want everyone... People join at different times
mm-hmm.
in the conversation, so I want everyone to understand yeah. where we are. That's all.
Yeah.
Is it also true that a warning sign, an internal warning sign, is when we start to have feelings for other people?
So, I would definitely say that's like, you know, like the one in front of the X. Doesn't need to be explained. Like, it's there. You know it's there. Like, definitely, if you start seeking out other people, anything that the person that you're currently with is, like, annoying or aggravating, you see person B that's just like, oh, they're singing your high praises. Everything about them is so great. That is a huge flag. You know that, hey, this thing is going south, abort, 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 the ship is going down. Because, you know...
Wait, so you have the wherewithal to just be like, whoa, flag on the play, let me reassess.
Oh, make no mistake, I still keep going.
I go down the rabbit hole.
Right.
And don't even realize I'm going down the rabbit hole.
No, I go down the rabbit hole knowing that it's a rabbit
hole. I don't even know.
Because that's just me. But, yeah.
You're so confused. Like, oh, you've never lived, she's never lived that life.
But no, like, you know, but you just still keep doing it anyway. It's like, okay, you know that the relationship is failing. Like, everything that this person is doing is getting on your nerves. This new person that you've met, like, even though you know that in the end they're going to probably be full of shit too, you just going along to get along. Like, hey, it's better than your current situation.
Because in that moment, they are better than what you got.
Exactly. And that's a good phrase. In that moment.
Right.
Hashtag three words. In that moment. So it's like you're just impulsive, I guess, is one word to put to the whole situation. Impulsive. Like, just, hey, I'm going to just do this. It feels right. It looks right. Oh, okay. It must be right. Even though you know it's not.
Right.
You know, the really genius part of you know is like, you're going to probably regret this shit. But you just do it anyway. Like he says, going down the rabbit hole.
Nah, I've done it and didn't regret it. Ended a whole relationship.
Behind me.
Yup.
What was the...
Just like, what's the question?
Feelings
for someone else.
So, I've never... You mean when you're currently in a relationship?
You're currently in a relationship and you know that the relationship is coming to an end. When? mm-hmm. you start to develop feelings for someone else.
So I never had that, but I have been like, oh, he's fine, you know, and I don't mind saying it in front of the person that I'm in a relationship with. Is that the same? No.
No. Okay, so I can see that happening, but just like when you're in a relationship, don't you just, aren't there times where you just discuss other people with each other? It's like, damn.
No.
Like, are you serious?
I never have. He has, but I never have.
All the time.
Because then it would make me feel weird and it would make him mad. But more recently, though, like, for example, we were watching that thing I sent you, the little debate thing. The conservatives versus... And there was one guy who... I just was looking at, I said, you know, he had like a really deep, sexy voice. And I said, if he had on a suit right now, he would be so sexy. And he just looked at me like, you're tripping right now. And I was like, I don't care. I mean, you know, but now, like, I don't care. Like, I'm a woman. Okay? And that's what I have to tell him. Like, I'm grown. Okay?
Phenomenally.
I'm like, I can feel the way I want to feel. But as far as, like, having feelings... I've never really encountered that, I don't think. But then that goes back to, like, I don't know. I try to be very respectful. Because for me, it's like, how would that make me feel? Because I've been in a situation where it's like, he's developed these feelings for other people, and it's like, and I knew how much that hurt me.
You are such a saint. You're about to be Mother Teresa
number three.
Because my sister is Mother Teresa number two. That's good. I don't think my thought process goes that deep to where it's like, oh, I don't want to hurt you.
But see, now, the older that I'm getting, I'm realizing, you know, my kids are getting older. And I'm realizing, okay, I got to put me first. And how I feel and how I want to feel.
Because society is going to make you feel bad, like you're a mother, that's all you should be, you know, and that's all you should feel. And no, my argument is these kids are going to grow up, they're going to leave you, they're going to start lives of their own, and then you have a bunch of regrets. So
right.
Like, I don't really subscribe to that. So hey, live your best life, hashtag.
Mm-hmm. When he gets born. It's time to end the relationship.
Alright.
So, but what is boring, though? Like, let's define that. What is boring?
But see, that's also a little selfish, too, in my opinion. Because I know someone, again, who they said sex was really, really boring.
Okay.
Really, really boring. Well, but then it's like, that I feel like that also has more to do with that person versus the person that they're with. Because, I mean...
You can make sex interesting.
Yeah.
Facts. That's, like, a fact. I promise you. I've done the legwork.
But like, then it don't just have to be sex that's boring. It could be the conversation.
Right.
It could be, you know, just your regular everyday life.
That the monotony.
Yeah, right. That becomes just boring. It's not interesting anymore.
Every Saturday you go to the movies.
No.
Every Sunday you go out to eat.
No.
Every Wednesday.
I'm cringing. Stop.
My
spirit is crying out for more. No, so I get that. It's easy to do to fall into a monotonous routine. Like, no, switch the style up. We about to go to Walmart and act like we don't know each other. Like,
yeah, but then that comes if a person is not willing to grow with you and just be spontaneous and change. And
whose responsibility is it to be spontaneous? What if neither of you is?
Then you're just gonna be in a boring relationship.
Right? See, but one person is looking for the other person to be quote unquote spontaneous.
That's where communication comes in.
But the second person is looking for the first person to be spontaneous. Like what? Like who? Like. Who knows?
Then you just gotta communicate that.
True.
Because a lot of the times when it's just boring with that stuff, like just wanting to do different things, it's because like one person has to, like I ain't gonna lie, I actually address a situation. I'm like, this is boring.
not bad. My thing is, it might come off a little bit brazen at the gate. Like, bitch, you bold for saying that shit to my face. But in the long run, I feel like that's responsible. Like, hey, I give a fuck enough about this situation to where I'm gonna tell you to your face, bitch, I'm bored.
Right.
And this is, you know, we need to figure something out. Like, how can we make this more interesting? How can we be more in sync, more in tune with each other? You know what I'm saying? No, for real. Like,
you come at me, bitch, I'm bored. I'll be like, oh, Jesus.
Well, no, I mean, that might sound... and I'm saying it that way because Fifi called everybody a bitch. So, and that wasn't...
She does.
Hey, guys.
She really, really does.
That was not an Ilya thing, because Ilya is not going to tell anybody, bitch, I'm bored. I'm not going to do that, but that's a Fifi thing. She called everybody that. So my thing is, hey, if Fifi come at you, bitch, I'm bored, bitch, you boring me. So you need to take that into consideration. I feel like that's more responsible. I'd rather you be mad at me by me saying, hey, bitch, I'm bored, than me...
Okay, so you don't even have to, say that. What you can say is, what if we did such and such? And then in a way where, like, they couldn't say no because you're so excited and you know they want to please you, they're going to do it.
That's a very cool way of doing it, and I absolutely appreciate your propriety.
So, but you have to do that.
What does propriety mean?
Being proper.
I was like, a business?
You had a me moment. No, but I will say that once I said that things were boring, and this is just life in general, he would say, okay, we're going to do this, and I promise I won't complain. And that makes me feel, okay,
to
you
me,
just
love
willing.
You were
really,
yeah.
At least willing to try.
Yeah.
That's important. The fact, having a willing participant.
Right.
That's important. I like it.
And we talked about the next one. The next one was supposed to be sexual issues, so we kind of covered that. Were there any other sexual issues? Because I remember originally we talked about something different. Well, basically, lack of sex. Sex is boring. Definitely, I know, especially like for myself, like when things come to an end, like, why you touching me? Get away from me.
I've never experienced it. Like, things are coming to the end while you touching me. I've never experienced it.
Are you serious?
Never. I've never experienced it.
Shit.
Maybe something's wrong with me.
Because at that point, you just agitated with the person where you're like, you just don't want to.
Yeah, we in bed and you touching me. Get the fuck off me.
Right.
I mean, is this okay? So I guess my question would this be in situations to where you have been cohabiting?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's there's the disconnect. I've never cohabited with anybody that I was romantically involved with ever. So that might be the disconnect. Like,
because then at that point you have no choice not to even kick them out.
Right.
You
so
know?
I've never
And don't really even want to kick them out. It's just
at that time you
don't
just
touch
need your space.
Me. Just don't touch me.
So if the conversation is skewed. I've never lived with anybody that I was with.
Yeah.
No. Past 3 days. Peace up. And you found out, like, we don't really do that. So, it's just different. I've just never experienced that. Like, it doesn't matter who I was with. No, we don't do the sleepovers like that. Like, talking about, like, the father of my child was probably the only person that stayed with me beyond 2 days in a row.
The fuck?
Yeah, for real. Like, never
happened. See, I couldn't function like that.
See, and that's the only way. Because
you
couldn't
be with that person all the time.
You know, and I know. That's the only way I've known how to function. Like,
And it doesn't even have to do with trust, because it has absolutely nothing to do with trust. It's just, I need to touch your feet. I need to smell your scent.
Right. I need to see the back of your head.
Yeah. Nasties.
But you know, I got that. But I need to see you go. Like, that's just not been something that I've been able to do. Like, he's been in situations to where he's cohabited with someone that he's been with, but in the course of like my life, how things have been set up, I've not shared a space with anybody I've ever been in a relationship with. That's just not. I'm terrified.
Right.
I'll be honest with you about, like, if I ever get in a situation to actually do that. Like, no, like the longest I've stayed with someone consecutively has been 3 days. And it has literally just been the father of my child. And after that, you know, it was just like a wrap.
No trips, no like vacations,
No. Not at all.
Damn.
No. And it's not, oh, hell yeah, it's just tough and hard to deal. It's not that. It's just my opportunity, I guess, hasn't really presented itself like that to where I felt comfortable enough to just allow someone to share my space for that long without a break. No.
Yeah.
No. See, I couldn't even imagine not living with the person that I'm in a relationship with.
Really?
At all.
I'm going to have to take notes on our next podcast because Ilya is going to need some TLC, like, for real, because I'm, like, socially, relationship-wise, retarded when it comes to this kind of stuff. Like, I just don't, like, I don't get it. Like, it doesn't fit. Like,
yeah. Well, I will say this. I've been living with my kid's dad now since 2013. And I would prefer not to live in the same house.
You're not helping me making it work.
Only because I feel like it allows you to miss somebody.
Mm.
She not that one. It allows you to miss somebody. So I'm not gonna lie, whenever he was in Houston, I would miss him. Me and the kids would miss him. Like, I'd be okay, but I mean, it just gives you a chance to miss somebody when you don't have to live with each other. And he would come home, like, every other weekend. It was great.
See, okay, but, okay, so, like, in my case, it's like, we had, like, our own separate lives. Like, I was doing whatever during the day. Like, when I came home, I just came home, and that was it. If I had to go, I don't know, to Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I went to Connecticut, and it was no big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Came back. It was like heaven.
Yeah. But see, that's what it is, because, you know, but I mean, the thing is, well, I don't know, your situation is just different, because,
yeah, I don't know what it is like to have somebody in my bubble 24/7.
I feel like it's very rare for all three of us to have the same experience.
Other than we are.
What you say, TV? I said we all here, though. Oh, I don't.
Well, okay, the situation we're all in right now.
It's very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
Heart posture.
Yes, heart posture.
We kind of, okay, so we talked about no longer caring, right?
Yeah.
Right,
Start cheating. We start cheating either emotionally or sexually. And we had to, that had to be, like, specified, because.
Yeah.
Because we know that Jermaine does not believe in emotional cheating. If you didn't put it in there, then I ain't cheating.
All but right? Why do you feel that way?
It's like one of the blues songs. Like, what did they say? Eating ain't cheating.
Why do I feel that way?
Yeah.
Because I feel... Okay, well, I guess for me... Well, no, I was about to say...
Okay, have you ever been cheated on?
I'm not certain about that, but mm-hmm. My gut says yes.
Just like sex, and like they cheated on you by having sex with somebody else, or by like falling in love with somebody else.
By his standards, it only matters.
Yeah, it was
physical contact. Okay.
Yeah.
See,
Like, okay, so this is the thing for me. Like, okay, if you have, I don't know, fall in love with someone emotionally, mm-hmm. and there's like no sex, to me, I can get you back.
And see, I feel differently about it is because
I can get you back, because you coming home to me. See, right? You coming home to me.
That's
and if I feel, hold on, let me finish this thought. if I feel like that's the case, if I feel like you have fallen out of love with me and fallen in love with someone else, I'm going in extra hard. Extra hard. And I'm going to make you fall in love with me all over again.
Absolutely aggressive. And Tarzan of you.
That's just how I feel.
But, so, my thing is, I feel that emotionally, like, that's how it starts. Like, for me, a person like me that's a physical being, an animal, I can have sex with anybody. I can move on. It don't mean shit to me. I promise you, it's nothing. I can smash you right now and go on living my life, and it's nothing. I promise you. But an emotional attachment, to me, that's deep.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little bit harder to get past. So, it's like, I get where emotional cheating, like, in your eyes wouldn't really be cheating. I can understand that because I can understand the rationale behind it. Like, okay, you hadn't actually swapped bodily fluids. You hadn't done the deed. I get it. But to me, like, we're emotional beings as well as physical beings. But the mind is one of those things that we haven't even been able to pull back all the layers on even now scientifically. Right. So if I got your mind, to me, it's like, there are no bounds. So, to me, that's, like, really deep. It really is. Like, yeah, you coming home to me, but that's just your physical body that's here with me. Whereas emotionally, you know, mentally, you're with somebody else. To me, that's different on a whole nother planet.
Okay, when you're having sex with someone and you're thinking about somebody else, what is that?
Are you asking, is that cheating?
Yes. Is that cheating?
I don't cheat. If you tell me it's called offensive. I always think
about that. But you're thinking about somebody else. Right, so you again, want somebody else.
So again, that's the mind. So your physical body is here with me. But ultimately though, hey, don't be so quick to cheer. Ultimately, the mental part of it is helping you to finish.
No. No. Okay, let me tell you. Okay, look, for me, if I got to think about somebody else while I'm having sex with somebody else, then it's not where it needs to be.
Right.
Because eventually I'm going to start cheating.
Right. But see, which...
Bottom line.
Leads me to my point. Like, mentally, you're just not there. You're somewhere else. Like, emotional cheating is like a thing. It is a thing. Like, you said, okay, I feel like I'm going to have to go extra hard. Like, okay, your attention might be divided, but you're bringing your body home to me every night. But where's your soul? Where's your spirit?
Yeah, but I can get that shit back.
Well, no.
Because you haven't really truly given it to that person.
Right.
Because let's go to the Bible. Okay. Every time that you have sex with someone, you're giving part of you to that person.
Right.
It's not the emotion, it's the physical act.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
somebody say amen for me. Type amen.
No. But see, I don't know. I just feel like emotional. I mean, here's the thing. I kind of feel like the emotional because, I mean, you really, like, when you fall in love with somebody, like, you saying, okay, I can get them back. That's just probably, like, what if that person don't want you back? And they don't feel in love with you? That may be in your case.
I can get them back.
That may be in your case, but with other people.
Other people what?
With other people, they probably, like, bitch, I don't want you back. Nothing you can do can, you know, get me back.
You got to wear them down. You got to be. You got to.
I'm not doing this with y'all.
This is
going nowhere fast.
But, well,
what you mean?
I'm just like, no, I'm not taking
over. That's not the same thing, though.
Why not?
Well, because it's different because we have children.
Mm-mm. No.
Believe me, I was the same fool.
I mean,
all Okay, we're getting quiet. All right, so moving on. Start cheating. Okay, we can talk about that. Increase in sociability.
Could you explain what sociability means?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, it can mean so many different things. Like, originally, she was talking about just being out and about. I guess, like, going out and, like, you know, new friends and stuff like that. Or for other people, it could simply be the internet, i.e. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. You know, you're sharing of yourself. And by sharing of yourself through those different media, you become more accessible to people who will then get into your DMs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got completely scolded. Like, oh, you're supposed to be a homebody. Every time I turn around, I'm going out with this person and I'm going out with that person. And normally you would just be content to be sitting on the sofa doing X, Y, Z. And now you're not doing that anymore. You're just going out and blah, blah, blah. It must be a thing. So, I do think an increase in sociability can be a telltale sign of a relationship going south. But again, going back to that phrase of heart posture, like, where am I in the relationship currently that's making me feel like, hey, you getting on my nerves and vexing me enough to where I don't even want to be around you, to where I'm seeking out other people for entertainment because you just get on my nerves. So I do feel like that can be a telltale sign because, you know, like Jermaine said earlier, this whole honeymoon phase, you know, we eat, sleep, drink, live each other for an X amount of time, but then it's like, okay, now I'm bored or frustrated or annoyed or whatever you want to attach to it, to where I just kind of want to be entertained by other people for a little while. So I feel like that can be a huge telltale sign of, yeah, this relationship's about to take a downward spiral because, you know, if we're trying to build on us, but you're bringing other people into the situation, this can be a very, very, very negative thing because how are we going to build on us when you got 15 other people in our situation? So what do y'all think?
Okay, so is the question how, like, social media and, like, the people coming to your DMs, are you, like, responding to those DMs? Is that, like, a warning sign of a failing relationship?
Right. I mean, I think it could be because if I'm 100% content, would I be even acknowledging or entertaining the DM?
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you're giving me everything I need, want, desire, then some.
Yeah.
I don't even have a DM, bitch. A Facebook, what's that? You know, no.
So, like, if I'm in a relationship and everything is good, 9 times out of 10, I'm barely on Facebook, Instagram.
You ain't got time for that shit.
Yeah, like, really, right. For real. And to be quite honest with you, it's like people know.
Yeah.
It's like they sense, like, shit ain't right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send you a message. And as soon as that message is sent,
I don't know. I feel like some people just be doing it just to shoot their shot, just to see what they get a response or if somebody will even read the message. I mean,
and if shit is not good at home, oh, I'm going to respond.
Yeah,
I'm going to respond.
I'm guilty because I know I didn't not even be interested. Just been like, oh, because I'm dissatisfied. Let me just. Oh,
okay. I've never responded to a message somebody has sent me ever.
But even though I consciously knew I'm not interested.
Well, no, it's not that. It's I always feel like people are being really, really fake on social media.
This is a fact. That is a huge fact. It's a smoke screen. All smoke and mirrors. I believe. Yeah.
And I'm a private investigator in my spare time, and so I know. Yeah, I know how. Me and my friends used to, girl, I'm going to kind of message him and just see what's happening, just see what he going to say. And, you know, so I always feel like it's, I don't know, it's something sneaky about it.
I've definitely done that before social media was a thing. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, tell him,
meet us outside the library, you know, Gerard Park or whatever, and he actually showed like an asshole. And, yeah, we've actually done that before social media became a thing.
Yeah.
And, see if they take the bait. I can't and sometimes do this. They do, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
You can't do this.
But it's not.
I mean, it's just like on. Remember, y'all remember the episode on Insecure this last season? Where Issa had to call her friends. Y'all, who changed the password to the Instagram to the account?
Right, but it's like they don't be thinking that far. Like we right. do though, but right. it's just like just to see like where's your head. It's like okay, so based on your next move, how you maneuver through this whole thing is gonna let me know what I need right. to know about you. I mean, in retrospect, all of it is really kind of childish and petty. But these are
wait. What are you talking about? I don't understand. Okay, what you're talking so about. How you maneuver? How you deal with this?
So what okay. So if I sent out a decoy for you, just to see, okay.
You mean you create a fake account?
A fake account, a fake broad, whatever it may be, to see if you're going to bite. You know, it's like going fishing. Yeah. Just to see if you're gonna maneuver. In the way I think you're going to maneuver, or are you going to go in a different direction? Like, just to see how you're going to respond to it. But again, what I'm speaking to is something that I've done, like, early college. You know, like, is that something I would do now? No. Absolutely not. Because as a social scientist, I believe in experiments, observation, all these other things. So I don't need to involve other people. I don't need to do all that. I'm going to watch you for myself to see how you handle things. So I don't do this stuff like that now, but just speaking to back then in those 20s, like the types of shit that I was doing, like, hey, okay, I'm going to have a bitch try to holler at him and then tell him, meet her in Gerard Park on UL's campus and da-da-da-da, see if he show up. Oh, he actually fucking showed up like a clown. You know? Okay, so that lets me know that there's something that's lacking in our relationship, that we're on our last leg to where he's actually willing to seek out another female. That lets me know, hey, this is not going in the direction that I thought it was going in. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about. Like, hey, but these are things from, like I said, the 20s that I was pulling out. I wouldn't do shit like that now. No, not at all. A little more strategic than that now.
Okay. Issues with the phone. Issues with the phone.
So, I feel like that's definitely a sign of a failing relationship, especially when it's like you got to bring your phone with you everywhere you go, or you know, I mean, I think everybody now has a lock on their phone, but I mean, even like the fact that you can't share your code, like okay, with my relationship now. He used to have a lock on his phone. And, like, the last year, if he hasn't had a lock on his phone, I can see everything. I can, like, go through messages and, like, there's... Well, I mean... Yeah. So, there's, the fact that he took the lock off lets me know that he's trying to be more open, I guess. And even now, I have a lock on my phone, but that's just because I have my phone at work. But he, like, knows my passcode and he can go through it and stuff. But once somebody starts locking the phone or changing the messages to where they can't see who it is texting you, like they hear the phone but they don't know exactly who it is texting you, I mean that it is a problem. Even though I don't know, I feel like women are very smart, because if I was doing something you would never know. Even if it's like text messages, like you'll never know.
Okay, so you change the name to some chick's name, whatever.
Well, no, not like that.
We all know that shit.
No, not like that.
Oh, look, you took the calculator app and that's all your Negroes that's in there. It's not a calculator for real.
Whatever. Okay, so.
Hey, really?
Like, I've been in a situation where. Okay, so I don't know about you, but like sometimes you go to the restroom, you take the phone with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even sometimes you don't even think about it. Right. It's just in your pocket. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I keep my phone in my pocket. Go to the restroom, take the phone with me. Someone texts me while I'm in there. I'm gonna pick it up. I'm gonna respond. Yada yada yada. You get out, and it's World War III. It is literally World War III, right? Why you brought your phone in the restroom with you?
I had to.
You don't normally do that. You shit, you ain't even paying attention to me.
I've never had that.
You never had that? You never cared or you never paid attention?
No, I've never, like, that's never happened.
Shit.
Now, I've never had that. Now, when you leave the phone in the room and you go to the bathroom and I see a message come up, then when you come out, yeah, then I'm ready to fight.
I've never experienced it either. It's just like, oh, things are different now. Like, you at your phone way more than you normally are, so, like, what's going on there? But not just, you know, you coveting your phone. Nah. Because I'm not, like, a huge techie person anyway. But any slight adjustment in what I do with a phone is definitely blown up. Like, I definitely had the whole, oh, you on your phone way more than you used to.
But no, even I think that's like with jealousy, because even like with our friendship and even with like Bridgewater, whatever, like we constantly text each other all the time. And so then like whenever we all started becoming like really cool, whatever, texting, and even Jordan's like, texting, like, right, you know,
I've experienced that. I have, yeah. Like, hey,
he's like, just friends.
Like, what's going on? Like, yeah. Who is Mr. Watson? And, you know, like,
I think we've all had that. Who is Mr. Watson? Conversation.
Let me tell you who Mr. Watson is. I'm gonna tell you right now. Don't you fucking worry about who Mr. Watson is. Okay. So, like, but no, I can understand, like, where the question marks will come in, you know, but it's like,
how does that make you feel, by the way? That we've all had to have this conversation.
It's like, I'm always like, damn. Please don't mention me. Please act like I don't exist.
But then if you did that, then it would be weird.
But you exist though. Like, so
I do, but I don't want to be part of.
But I guess I can understand from the male view, even though I'm not anywhere near male. But I guess I can kind of understand why anybody would be like, who the fuck is Mr. Watson? Because he's attractive, he got this fucking Colgate smile, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Kool-Aid over here. Why anybody would be intimidated, you know what I'm saying? You know, you ain't around, you picking my bitch up for work, what? No, I don't like that. So, I guess I can understand, why that would be uncomfortable or awkward or weird, but yeah, Mr. Watson, nobody's really like feeling the presence because.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, now my entire family loves Mr. Watson.
Well, of course, because once you get to know him, it's like, okay, I'm not trying to smash a girl. That's not what it is. It's like, it really is just a platonic friendship. Right.
Going back to the previous.
Right, but again, outlier, exception, versus everybody else being the rule.
Mm-hmm. So, are we done with this one?
I think we're done.
It's been 52, 53 minutes.
Oh, God. We talk a lot.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it feels like it was like only 20 minutes.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Warning Signs of a Failing Relationship.
Until next time, this has been
H-Town Fifi,
your girl, Ilya,
and Jermaine Watson. Peace.
Love and soul.
Oh, how you turn this shit off?
I
press it. In L-E-O. In live video.
And then in
save.
The...
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Indulge Me. It is truly appreciated. If you listen to us from Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher, Breaker, Google Podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, CastBox, or Overcast, you can contact us directly by emailing indulgeme2018@gmail.com. All you have to do is record yourself and email your message to indulgeme2018@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to Indulge Me.
I guess I'll start since these two are tinkering with the logistics. Personally,
I feel like it's very thin and fine line. Can it happen? I feel like it's very, very slim. It just depends on if you're attracted to the person initially. Of course, you do have those instances where when you get to know someone's personality, they become attractive. So I guess it just depends for me, but how my life has worked. Just personally, there are very, very, very few friends of the opposite sex who have not at least tried, you know, at some point in time. And, you know, it could have been middle school, high school, whenever we both went off to college or whatever. I would say a good 90% have tried. Now, just Elia being the person that she is, I'm not going to put it all off on the male friends, because being a thought pocket, it wasn't always just the friend. In a particular instance, it was definitely me. So I feel like it's kind of mildly possible for the most part. I feel like with sexual beings, you know, unless you have those bounds of like, okay, this person's married, this person's in a relationship or something like that, that, you know, your own value system wouldn't allow you to even do that, then I feel like almost anybody is free game.
So hold on. So your values say don't do it, but do you feel it?
So my values wouldn't allow me to go all the way, but yes, attraction is attraction. I'm an animal, you know, by nature. That is my nature. You know, I don't buy into this whole, oh, it's so much easier for women. No, I don't subscribe to that. So, you know, my animal nature, you know, is going to feel certain levels of attraction. But like I said, my value system, if I know, hey, this person is in a relationship or they're married or something like that, wouldn't allow me to cross that threshold regardless of my animalistic nature.
Okay, so we're still on the question, can you just be friends?
Yes.
So, I think yes. I guess in my opinion, I say yes just because of my own experiences. And I'm always able to just be friends. Because first of all, I think, I've never put myself in a situation to be like alone with somebody that I'm really attracted to where something like to where us possibly like moving from friends to something more could happen.
So I disagree about the putting myself in a situation, just personally from what I've experienced. And I know, you know, Elia is a free spirit, so maybe my pheromones are exuding something that I'm not even thinking about sometimes, to where, you know, it's being projected that way, even if I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter's upstairs, so I'm trying to be careful with this particular story. But I've experienced a situation to where someone extremely close to me came to me and decided that he wanted to give that part of our relationship a go. And it's like, I think this is extremely inappropriate. You're intertwined with my family. Like, I legit, like, I'm not one of those people that's just saying, oh, that's like my brother. Like, you're really like a brother to me. And yeah, we've been friends like well over 20 years. And now you're coming to me with this. And it's not me putting myself in a situation alone with you or something like that. Because we've had those times, like,
yeah,
as kids and all of that. We've always been around each other like that. You've never tried it. So
yeah,
I'm like, I don't know if it was the cocaine. I don't know what it was that made you feel like that was okay. But that was, like, one of the only people who have never went there with me. And it's like, I could be myself around this person. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm putting myself in a situation like I'm dressing provocative or something like that, or just being alone with you and it's weird. It was just like, no, that was just like always our thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the only thing. Just, you know, I guess to go further, probably
the different levels of friends, I guess, because, yeah, you know, you do have those male friends, like, you just meet, and you're just cool, you're just kind of getting to know, then there's those friends you've known for years and years and years, so I guess it's just levels of friendship, like...
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you find that you are attracted to pretty much everyone of the opposite, like... Not in every single way, but it might be their intelligence, it might be their looks, it might be how they dress, how they smell. It might be some little small thing that you find attractive about that person, and it makes you say,
You said that everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just normal.
I mean, I guess we can't say that without addressing people of the same sex, because it's like... There are things about people of the same sex I found attractive as well. So it's like, how can we address that without, you know, because when you're saying the stuff like personality, things like that, attraction doesn't have to be sexual, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, so to answer your question, I would say yes. But, I mean, I find stuff attractive about people of the same sex. So... But it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual.
I got you. And I guess the reason I asked that question is because I know for myself, I'm only speaking for myself. There is something about just about every person that I know that is attractive. Okay. And on some level, I've been attracted to just about everyone, but I've never taken it there. And so to answer the question on the floor, I do believe that you can simply be friends. Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like I'll ask only. I stand by my opinion that it is difficult. You know, now, granted, I mean, it's not difficult if I don't find you sexually attractive to be like, no, friend zone. You don't be a great friend, you know, so, but I stand by that. It's difficult, because I feel like at some point, if you're around long enough, at least in my experience, from what I personally have experienced, at some point, it goes there. And I mean, this has happened with, like I said, probably 90% of people. You know. So maybe it's a me thing. Maybe it's something that I'm portraying that I don't realize. Mm-hmm. But with that particular person that was like family, it was really hurtful. Because it was like...
And kind of awkward too, huh?
Extremely awkward. Like, come on, man. Like, you're the only person that I could just... You know, I can let my stomach hang out. I can take off the spanks. You know, I don't have to do all that. Like, it's right. You know, and then you try to take that. So, anyway, moving on. All right, what we got next?
Either initial attraction, which I kind of think we kind of talked about.
Yeah.
So, next is platonic relationships at work.
That's interesting because I feel like... That's all we do now is work. And so, of course, you build these friendships. Well, no, you build these friendships with people at work. And so, I feel like you can just be friends with people at work. So, I know I had this experience at the old school that I was at where I had this friend. And he was really cool from, like, the first time that we both met at the school. But it did get to the point where he would, like, comment on my appearance and, like... He would be really inappropriate, but I never was like really offended because I was never really attracted to him.
What's inappropriate?
Good question.
Like, oh, the twins looking good today. Like, you know, little
very
stuff like
inappropriate.
That. Yeah, you know, it was really inappropriate. And you know, I never said.
But wait, what were you wearing? What were you wearing?
Like regular, like a you know regular dress.
Were you revealing anything?
It's really hard not to. I mean, listen,
starting clothes, like busted about it.
But I mean, he would say little stuff like that. But I wasn't really like I wasn't offended by it. Like I didn't really care. I wasn't attracted to him. But like certain things about him, his personality were attractive though. But and he would like make advances, whatever. But I never really like played into that because I, you know, first he was married. Then, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm in a relationship, and it was just kind of weird. But, I mean, and I even now, like, he'll text me every now and then and stuff.
Are you serious?
But then I have to, like, hey, so how's your wife and your kids? Little stuff like that, because I know that, you know, he's attracted to me or whatever. But I never, you know, I never, like, I don't feel like I ever gave him, like, an idea that I wanted to be more than just friends with him or anything like that.
So how do you handle someone at work who you know is attracted to you without it becoming odd or yeah?
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I feel like it's hard for women because men will be very like, I feel like there's not one place where I haven't worked where a man hasn't been like, hey, what's up? Or like just kind of threw themselves at you. And so it does become awkward, and I mean.
So, but how do you handle it?
Just sometimes
I divert to cordiality. You know, I kind of
cordiality exists among all who abide within.
Right, I do. I just, you know, I try to go ahead and steer it in the direction I want it to go in. So yeah. Even if you're looking at me like, oh yeah, you would like a snack, girl, let me drink your bath water. I bring it back to like, oh, good morning, how's your day going? Da 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 da. You know, oh, okay, well, I'll see you later. And just, you know.
Yeah, I'll do that. And I'll smile or laugh, whatever. And it's not because I'm like, oh, I like this, but it's more so because it makes me nervous.
Right. Well, even if I know you don't have a chance in hell, I also, you know, have hung up my cutthroat ways about myself. So I try not to do anything to be too hurtful towards anyone. So I still
because you still have to work with them.
Right, exactly. So to my point, like, you know, you want to keep it nice and friendly. Now, if you're going too far and you're talking about the twins and you almost in my clothes, it's different. That's sexual harassment. But otherwise, I try to keep it nice and neutral and friendly with you, even if, you know, you are coming on a little strong and being a little pressed.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last place that I worked, a high school, you know, there were some teachers who were very, very attracted to me and let it be known that they were attracted to me.
No way.
And, you know, normally what I do is I just act like I don't know what you're doing. Like, really, truly.
Play the blissfully unaware card.
Yeah, like I don't know. It's like, hey, how you doing? And they're like feeling me.
So you do what I do, but just more theatrics.
But well, yeah, like I'll change the subject and act like I don't know what the fuck is going on, but I really do know what's happening. And you know, try to get away from the situation. But after a while, once they realize, oh, he's not interested, then it becomes something completely different. It's almost like, what was the name of that movie? Fatal Attraction?
Oh, no.
Just not to that extent.
Oh, I was going to
wait, like, with the women?
Yeah. Like,
that is crazy.
Like sabotaging me verbally.
I'm going to need Andrews.
Really?
But no. Like, for real. Like, women act differently, I think.
When you say you don't want to...
So they become low-key malicious?
Yeah. Like, they have.
So after we get off, I'm going to need Andrews.
It's not that serious. That's okay. It's not that serious. Like, it'll last for, like, I don't know, like, a month. And then after
right.
that,
so,
you know, they're over it.
That's...
Like, what kind of things would they say,
like,
though?
Thirsty and pressed.
No, it would just be like, okay, so I would have to give presentations. So... In the back, you could hear them say, look at him. He think he all that. And, you know, like,
that's
this,
like
stuff like that.
Immature. Oh, good, better word. Because I'm like, they pressed. Immature. Good, better word.
But the thing about it is that in a situation like that, like, it makes others feel like, well, what's the problem? What's the issue? What's going on?
Right.
And, you know, then a supervisor is pulling me to the side and is like, what's
going on?
And
then you're having to explain.
Yeah. And not wanting to expose the situation because you don't want it to become something bigger than it is.
That's different because I feel like men don't act like that. Or they haven't. I've never experienced men doing that when, like, you're like, okay, nah, we're just friends.
Right.
Like, they don't act like that. But women, I mean,
That just, to me, speaks to the caliber of thirsty, pressed, unequivocally thirsty female that you have worked with. So, but moving on from that, yeah, like I said, addresses after we log off. But, okay, so,
All right.
Personal experiences. We skipped me. I just chimed in on y'all.
Platonic relationships.
So, y'all know I'm a social butterfly. So, this is definitely a topic that I'm not a stranger to. I guess I kind of exude overly friendliness. So, it's definitely something I've experienced, but not to the point to where I felt like people became malicious if they got turned down or anything like that in the workplace. So, this particular coworker, we can't name him, that we've been out. Y'all know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
a seasoned veteran, we'll say that. We all went out one night, so things got a little interesting. But I wasn't particularly headed in the direction that he was heading in, so I think I even kind of cracked the joke with H-Town Fifi on the side, like, oh my goodness, so if I say no when I get back to work, this is what's going to happen, and I'm terrified. But all in all, kind of like what Jermaine said when I got back to work, like, oh hey, you know, how you doing? Instead of just kind of like pretending that I wanted to go as far as you wanted to, and I didn't. But it was a little awkward at first, I'll say that, because eventually he ended up no longer working there. And then, as luck would have it, he came back. But like I said, like Jermaine said, well, unlike Jermaine said, it didn't become malicious for me, but I just kept it nice and cordial. So even though you were coming on like really strong, it was a lot. It was definitely a lot to handle, especially because I had to work with you. But I tried to keep it nice and neutral. So moving on from that. So awkwardness. What are we up to?
Transitioning back to just friends.
So platonic friendships that have gone to something sexual and transitioning back to friends.
So that means that we have to kind of talk about that.
Okay.
Like going from platonic to sexual.
Okay. So
I have no experience.
Okay. I'm gonna lean on my historian for just a second. Let's define, because we're throwing a lot of terms out here, and for the most part, we are going to assume that our audience already knows what a lot of these terms mean, but what do we mean when we say platonic?
Friends. Nothing more than just friends.
Okay. So, having an initial relationship with someone that was just platonic and then transitioning into, you know, that one night at the hookah lounge, they were looking like a snack, and y'all were drinking a little bit more than you should, and it's like, ooh, Joe looking kind of nice. Yes, I said it. And it's like, okay, let's see where this goes, you know. So the inhibitions are lowered, this person is looking like more than a friend, and you go for it. Okay, so all this time, you know, y'all are just pen pals, you know, to say the least, and now you know each other a little bit more than that. So how do you go from being, hey, this is just Joe I share emails with and a text message here and there, high five at the gym, to, hey, we know each other intimately in a sexual way?
But then you're still just friends, right?
But then you're still just friends. So there's no relationship. There's no type of commitment. You're still just friends. So your platonic friendship has crossed the line. You know, there was a line there, a clear line, you know, to now, okay,
We know each other's desires. Okay. So who wants to get into that? I did a whole lot of talking. Oh, wait. Y'all want me to start talking?
Well, I guess you
can't abstain from the whole conversation.
Well, she doesn't really like literally, truly, she has nothing to comment on.
I'm not gonna slip.
Okay, I'll go. All right, so
mine's a little different because
it started off as a relationship, then it ended. We started working together.
Ooh.
And then, you know, get lonely.
Surely. Human experience, surely.
555-6969.
555-6969 now.
And then, you know, like, it was just the whole thing of trying to... I mean, because you had emotions from before. And then you're working together. And so it's trying to separate, because like if you get mad, you know, like when you work with somebody, you get mad at them, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you try to have sex 5 hours later. So it's like, you know, trying to manage all of that. Oh Lord Jesus.
So ultimately, how did that pan out? Going from, because I think you kind of like flipped it, and I'm glad you brought that up. So going from having a title, being in a structured relationship, to okay, now you looking like a snack because I'm lonely, and I see you all the time. So we just, you know, we don't have those boundaries there. We just go for it. To hey, we still broken up, and we just friends, and I used to be with you. To you know, like how did that pan out? Because that sounds like a lot.
It wasn't bad. It was rocky at first because, you know, feelings, emotions
were there.
And then after a while, it just kind of became, you know, convenience. And then once it became convenience, like it was easy. It was just like, hey.
So because I love a good story. So how did that end? Like, what was the resolve, or did it end? Or, you know, was it a conscious uncoupling? Like, was it positive? Like, how did that, what was the end?
You mean the sex?
Yeah, what was the resolve? Like, did y'all ever stop?
Oh, yeah, that was like about 10, almost 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They got another job somewhere else in Lafayette.
So their job was no longer you. I'm just saying.
So then how did your other coworkers know about y'all's relationship?
Not at all.
Okay. Because then that can become awkward too, especially when other people know, and now they're looking. Not whenever y'all walk into the room together, you know.
Not at all. And like, because some of it was at the workplace, like, our jobs were the same, but we had different interests. And so we would get in meetings, and it was kind of like we were not arguing, but we were both trying to get our way. So it never looked like, how could you be in a relationship with someone and if you're both going at it?
Oh, yeah.
But when we left the meeting, it was all good because, you know, we said what we had to say.
Y'all were passionately sparring in front of the masses. And then when the curtains dropped.
Yeah, it got down. I mean, you know.
I like it. No one would think I would do it. Because I think that's kind of hot. But it's just me.
So, all right. So, now.
You saw me go on the boat, but you saw me like thinking about something.
Transitioning back to friendship. So, the sex ends, and now you want to reestablish the friendship that you once had, and all it is just friendship. How do you do that? How do you successfully transition into that?
You said a lot of operative words. Successfully transition
back.
Now, see, even though I don't have that experience, but for me, I think that would be hard to go back to just friends.
Not for me.
Well, you're an outlier. Just a little different. So I see you a lot like I see me. So that's different. Most of the world's not like us. So no, for real.
What does that mean?
Most of the world. No, for real. Like most people can't just shrug it off and be nonchalant. Like, oh yeah, we're just friends and cool. Let's have a bagel. No, it's like you know what my cum face looks like. So it's gonna be really hard for us to just be friends. So, hey, it's a closed set.
No, we can bring them in. No. We can bring them in.
So, no, but for real. Really, why everybody want to be like, I got to be the one with the egg on my face. Like, I said something wrong. Like, for real. It is. Like, for some people, it's going to be really hard for you to just be like, oh, just playing the cool card whenever I see you squeal like a motherfucking peacock. It's going to be really difficult to do. So, anyway, let's get us back on track. Transitioning back to friends after having gotten sexually intimate. I feel like, ideally, if you have boundaries out front, that'll cut down on some of the crazy.
That makes sense.
But, you know, like I said, that drunken night after Ruffins or wherever it is that you go to have fun, you're not really thinking. You're not really processing things rationally because you're only thinking from a physical standpoint.
So, like, I'm capable, like, I could be drunk as all get out, and I still know this is going to be an issue tomorrow.
Again.
But I don't give a fuck.
Again. Most of the world. Like, yeah, you'll be able to move past it and just be fine, but the overwhelming majority of people don't operate like that. It's like, oh, God, what if this person looks at me differently? What do I do now? Where is this going? What do we do? You know, it's like buku questions. So, it's like, to me, my default is always blissfully unaware. Like, oh, okay. Oh, did something happen? Oh, okay, cool. Moving on. Because it's not worth the drama. Huh?
Are you serious?
I am. It's not. It's not worth the drama. Because if I got to work with you.
And do that, they just play along. Like,
right.
But it's all good.
Why wouldn't it be? It's nothing, right? Well, like, why make it something that it's not? So it's not like, oh, me at the altar. No, we're not getting married. This is not a relationship. Nothing is going to develop from this drunken, horny night. So why making it into something that it's not?
There's not even a possibility.
Okay. So anything is possible. I'm not going to go there. Because.
So once you have sex with someone, aren't you, like, then looking at them just a little different?
Different.
I mean, as potential. Because for me, like, if I'm going to have sex with you, then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking there's potential.
Not necessarily. I can guarantee you, I can name a few that have no potential. Zero potential. So, sex doesn't always equate potential. Sex sometimes is just that. Sex. And let's not pretend as if there's more just because of sex. Like, no. Like, that's not always a relationship potential because we're horny. Like, I don't see potential in everybody I masturbate to on porn. So, I mean, this is just porn in 3D. So,
well, no. That comes to our next question.
Literally come to our next question. Let's go. Come on.
Oh. So. Turning down a friend who wants to be more than just friends.
That was a great segue.
It was.
I'm
going to
be quiet because I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking.
It was. So how do you do it since we've been talking?
Well, you know, I'm mean.
No, you're not.
You're mean.
I can be very mean.
So you weren't mean to that man who was talking about your titties.
sorry, he did not call them titties. He called them twins, and he complimented her.
Well,
he said the twins were looking nice today. Looking like a snake.
How did I mean, I don't know. I mean, he still texted me, so maybe I didn't do a good job of telling him.
You did not do a good job at all. I'm going to tell you right now, you failed. He definitely failed.
Turn down a friend who wants to be more than just... Just be... I mean, look, I don't like you like that.
When you do it, put me on three-way.
So... If I have to do it and I feel like I have to be direct, mm-hmm. like, I might not tell them the exact truth, but I'll give them something close to the truth. Like, oh, you're too young. Oh, this. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, something that's, like, it's believable.
But you don't have to hurt their...
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, because, I mean, ultimately, if this person is a friend, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to destroy them. You know, so I get that. I don't think I've ever done that, though. Like, just said, hey, I don't like you like that. I don't know.
Well, see, most people will get the hint.
Right. They will.
You know?
No, I don't think I've ever had to, like, actually just face value. Hey, bro. No. I don't think I've ever had to, like, do that. It's just, like, you get the hint from me not responding to texts, answering calls, or seeing you, and instead of you trying to hug me, you get the handshake, type stuff. So I don't think I've ever actually had to spell it out for anybody. Not for real.
Okay, so then how about you revealing to a friend that you want to be more than just friends? How do you do that?
Everybody knows I'm subtle. So subtle.
Because with Travis, I was like, look, I like you.
Hey.
What's up?
Let's go out.
And what did he say? What did he do?
Well, he had a girlfriend at the time.
You whore.
We were in high school.
It was totally acceptable then.
He was like, okay, with his New Orleans accent, he was like, okay, I like you too.
How do you tell?
You told me about that car rug at the casino. I totally do
this
it with
is
Kyle
a closed thing.
I totally do it with your car rug.
This was high school. This is not helpful. I can't. Anyway. Oh, God. I would like to believe that in my seasoned years, I have a little more finesse. They're being so direct, like I've been in the past. I don't know, maybe I'm just really direct. Just like, hey, what you doing later? Let's hang out or whatever.
That's not direct. Is it?
I don't know. I feel like it is. But honestly, these days, like, people just come to me. Like, I'm like, okay. Hang out, whatever it's gonna be, but like I have a knack for being direct, which is not a good thing. Try to have some fun. What you think, Jermaine?
In terms of you?
No. Let's not talk about me.
So, what's the question on the floor?
The question is the opposite of turning down. How do you approach a friend that you want to be more than just friends with?
In much the same way, I'm subtle. I'm not, like, in your face. But it'll be, like, little small things. I'll do extra things for you that I wouldn't do for everyone else. I'm very, very helpful. Very, very supportive. And not, like, oh, I'm... You know, I'm going to make copies for your supporter. It's like, you want me to do your lesson plan for you? That kind of shit. Like above and beyond.
Well, no, I do stuff like that for people, but I don't mean...
Okay, so that's you. I don't ever offer to do anything like that. That's just too much.
I'm not finna like, do yours. I like you, so I'm going to do it.
Like, you teach science and I teach social studies. Those two, mm-mm.
Well, okay.
What the fuck y'all talking about?
nothing. We just enjoying. I'm just listening to this, so it's just like.
Any other questions that have to do with platonic relationships?
Just somebody roll up on you in the gym and be like, hey, you know, how many days a week you doing now? Oh, for real? Okay. Maybe we should work out together sometime. I don't know.
So shit like that actually happen, like that doesn't happen to me.
I believe it does. Like
that doesn't happen to me.
But y'all know I'm also like friendly Barbara, so I talk to everybody and it doesn't have to be like sexual at all. It's just like literally I'm just friendly, so
not friendly Frida, but friendly Barbara.
Friendly Barbara. not friendly Bob, friendly Barbara. So yeah. But yeah, things like that happen. Like I feel like the gym is like a breeding ground for sex. Like, I don't know when it got that way. And maybe because I'm still fairly like a year, 2 years into like an actual membership, because that wasn't always my thing. But yeah, people like love having conversations. It's like, I'm trying to work out. Why are you talking to me? Like, I don't know. They really do that though.
That's like, what they're doing it.
Yeah, clearly. You know. So yeah. Like, hey, what you gonna do with that 20 pounds? What you gonna do with this phone?
Ernest, did that happen to you?
In the gym?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wait, what?
She's saying ain't nobody stepped to her like that.
Really? I don't believe you.
Well, okay. You know? When I first started working out over there on Sherwood Forest, like the first day I went in there was this guy who wanted to show me how to use every single machine. And at first I was like, oh, this is really helpful. But then it was like time for me to go and I'm like, I just spent my whole workout time letting you show me how to use every single machine. And he was very flirtatious, but I mean, that was the only time I could think of. I don't have all that.
What? No, sister. No. I don't have all that, like, people pretend like I have. I'm just friends.
I mean, you got swag.
You have swag?
Yeah.
Cute. That means a lot. I don't be trying to have swag. I be just trying not to be fat. I just be trying to have fun. Like, so, I don't know. I think the spin bikes are, like, sexual. So I feel like they be looking at me like when I'm riding the bike and be thinking about other stuff. Trying to do that. I did have one of my female friends tell me, they're like, hey, you might want to pick a different bike because you be looking like you riding a dick the way you be riding a spin bike. And I'm like, first of all, why are you looking? Second of all, I'm literally just trying to work out. Like, but now you made me so self-conscious that I will only get on certain bikes.
Visuals that just pop into my head.
Like, now I can only use certain bikes because you fucked my head up now. Like, and I'm thinking, like, people are really...
I just remember being in a whole lot of pain.
From a spin bike? Oh, yeah. It's really painful. I remember you be, oh, yeah, when you came in with that with me the other day. You was like, is this supposed to be this uncomfortable? I was like, girl, look. Yeah, when you get too long, get excited from the spin bike.
All right, are we done?
I think we're done.
Yeah. I think we're done.
So, what was that blink on the
thing? I don't think so. I don't think anything. Okay. You want to sign off?
All right, guys. Thank you for joining H-Town Fifi, Jermaine, and L. Yeah.
Until next time.
Indulge me.
Hopefully you were indulged.
Of course they were.